Hello and happy Tuesday. This is Nancy reading to you today from your Providence Journal. It is April 7th, 2026. Cover stories by Mark Patinkin, Out of This World. Who better to put Artemis II in context with Woody Spring? He's Rhode Island's only astronaut, having spent a week on the space shuttle in 1985, including 12 hours of spacewalks. Spring is now 81, lives in Stuart, Florida, still summers in Rhode Island, and as we chatted, brought the Artemis mission into thoughtful focus with an unexpected comment. He sees it as almost existential. My word, not his, but it seems to fit. Scientifically speaking, Spring said, the human race on Earth won't last. We could be wiped out by, who knows, a global virus, nuclear war, an asteroid, or some wobble in the sun or universe in thousands of millions of years. The way to survive, he says, is to reach other planets. And unlike the original Apollo moon program, which was mostly about getting there, Artemis envisions possible human space colonies. Spring said Artemis is also more immediately pragmatic. Its mission is looking for unknown materials on the moon to benefit humans, and the same eventually on Mars. Talking to Spring is always compelling. He's known for his knowledge and clarity, which is why the Kennedy Space Center in Florida often brings him in for hour-long chat with an astronaut sessions for visitors. That's basically what I recently got from him without paying the airfare. Spring is part of an exclusive fraternity, one of 150 or so American astronauts who have gone to space. This does not include Katy Perry or Gayle King, who popped up and down in Blue Origin just long enough for an Instagram selfie. Spring, a former Vietnam War pilot, astronaut, and military instructor, grew up in Chepachet, son of a psychiatric social worker dad who founded the Harmony Hill School for Kids with Challenges. After Pawnagasset High, Spring went to West Point, which began his journey to becoming an astronaut. Everyone who saw the 1969 Neil Armstrong moon landing remembers where they were. So I asked Spring, who was then in his early 20s, what he remembers of that night. He was on leave after the first of his two Vietnam tours, watching random TV while visiting a cousin in Miami when the grainy images of Armstrong popped on the screen. Spring was already signed up for military flight school, and the moment got him thinking about how far he could take a flyer's path. In time, he ended up making the cut as a test pilot. It was pretty high mortality rate, Spring said. I buried more friends as a test pilot than I did in my unit in Vietnam, but it was the best job I ever had. He liked pushing the edge of what was possible, which made an astronaut a natural fit for him. Spring went up on the shuttle in November of 1986, testing assembly techniques for the space station, which was completed a decade later. When he gives talks, the most common question is, what is it like to launch? Which I thought about myself when I saw Artemis II take off. It's dynamic, Spring said. You're riding 3 Gs, vibrating like crazy. Then it's like an electric elevator that keeps going up and up for 6.5 minutes. Once in orbit, Earth's cycles went by at hyperspeed. Every 45 minutes, said Springs, you'd see a gorgeous sunrise, and every 45 minutes, a gorgeous sunset. Did he like it up there? It was awesome. But after a week, I was ready to come home. I missed my wife and kids. I'd like a hamburger or a steak. Spring was on track to go up every 18 months, but 6 weeks after the first mission, the Challenger blew up, sidetracking the program for years. That was Woody Spring's path not taken, but he stayed in that world, becoming director of the Army Space Program, among other things, steering intelligence from military satellites two soldiers on the front lines. I hadn't realized that Artemis' mission is to eventually land at the moon's south pole and look for undiscovered elements there, but Spring said that's a key goal. He half-joked about Star Trek's mythical dilithium crystals and Avatar's unobtainium, both of which had unearthly energy powers. Spring doubts Artemis astronauts will find those, but there could be rare elements up there to justify a moon base to mine them. He told me we're on track to make it to Mars by 2035 and perhaps have a permanent colony there in 50 years. From Stewart, 90 minutes south of Kennedy Space Center, Spring was able to see Artemis II blasting skyward. Did he wish he was aboard? Yes, but he adds, it's a younger person's sport. We chatted for a while about his view of the mission being existential. If we stay here and don't do anything, says Spring, we'll be extinct. Could be another asteroid, nuclear war. At some point, the human race, if it wants to survive, must leave Earth. But more immediately, he believes that there could be valuable materials on the moon or Mars that will benefit Earth, which makes Artemis an exciting prospect to him. If you don't do exploration, he says, you won't find new ways and new things. This is the golden age of technology. Although Woody Spring has liked splitting his year between Florida and Rhode Island, he's considering a move. His son Justin Spring, a gymnast who won the Olympic team bronze in Beijing in 2008, is currently the coach of a women's team at University of Alabama. Woody and his wife are thinking of moving to Tuscaloosa to be nearby. Spring's daughter, by the way, is an Army pediatrician on track to become a colonel. That's the rank Woody Spring retired at, and he plans to pin his brass eagles on her when she gets the promotion. It's quite the family, and Spring remains a Rhode Island icon. As the mission of Artemis II resurrects the exploration of space, it's worth remembering that Woody Spring helped chart the path. Our next cover story is by Mark Reynolds, Accountability at Last, for mother over gun killing. It was a strong, sharp feeling, a yearning for accountability. It grabbed Christine Marino almost as unexpectedly as the walloping news that someone had just shot and killed her 24-year-old daughter. But no one would ever arrest the guy or prosecute him or lock him up. Marino's daughter, Lauren, was the victim of a murder-suicide. The North Providence man who shot her was already dead. Despite that fact, in her earliest hours of grief in 2024, Lauren's doting mother saw lots of riveting accountability issues to pay attention to. Most of those concerns were tied to the weapon used in the killing, a Glock 9mm semi-automatic pistol. Months later, Warwick police would accuse a Rhode Island woman of illegally buying the gun by providing false information to a local dealer in 2023, according to police report. That same woman then illegally gifted the gun to the man who shot and killed Lauren about 15 months later, police say. When Marino first learned about the recent mass shootings at Brown University and the rink in Pawtucket, she wanted to know, how did the shooters who carried out those murder-suicides get their guns? Does anyone else need to be held to account? If they're at that capability of doing a mass shooting, did they get the firearm legally? Marino asks. Marino of East Providence embarked on a quest to answer that question almost as soon as she learned her daughter had been slain in Haverhill on March 3, 2024. In the weeks and months that followed, Marino reached out to law enforcement agencies in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, seeking information about the gun. She believes her efforts had an impact. I'd like to think so, she said. I don't know. Based on the investigation conducted by Warwick Police in the summer of 2024, a 38-year-old Rhode Island woman, Heather Costa, now faces felony charges related to the gun in the case. While Marino continues to wait for a full accountability she seeks, she's satisfied that she at least has an answer to the gun question that has nagged her almost as soon as she learned about her daughter's death. Lauren Elizabeth Marino was born in 1999. She was a content child who would grow up to be a happy person, according to her mother. "She was just so happy all the time," said Christine. Lauren's reaction to funny things was unrestrained. Her laugh was unbelievable. At one point, when Lauren was a teenager and not yet of driving age, her mother learned that she was spending time talking to a boy who was not in the East Providence school system. The boy's name was Austin Amaral, Marino said. Marino said she didn't hear about Amaral any further, and Lauren soon launched a relationship with a different young man. Lauren graduated from high school in 2017. In 2019, she earned her associate's degree from the Community College of Rhode Island. She waded into the medical field and landed at Anodyne, a healthcare staffing agency in eastern Massachusetts, where she worked as a certified nursing aide. Then she began to work at a home in Haverhill, where she was a caretaker for a small group of adults. Commuting from East Providence, she would rise at 5 a.m. to arrive by 8. During the pandemic years of the 2020s, Lauren adopted two shelter dogs, naming them Darla and Spanky, Marino said. Then the young woman moved into a duplex apartment in 2022. Lauren had a paw print tattooed on each of her arms. She also had flower tattoos. She wore lots of jewelry, including an earring with a clear stone. She liked to take care of people. She told her mother she wanted to have kids someday. Marino said her daughter also told her in February 2024 that she was talking to Austin Amaral again. She assumed it was romantic. Later, a neighbor would tell Christine Marino that Amaral had moved in with his daughter. Amaral's history in recent years had involved work on a garbage truck owned by a Warwick-based disposal company. Out of the same building on Elmwood Ave, the company's owner also ran a realty firm. Costa, the woman who is accused of providing the gun to Amaral, told Warwick police that she worked for the realty company. She said she and Amaral had an intimate relationship in 2022, 2023, and up to February of 2024. Costa told Warwick police detectives that Amaral had asked her to buy the Glock for him, telling her the precise make and model that he wanted. She said she bought the gun for $577 using her own money and picked it up. She told them she met Amaral in the lot of a convenience store in Elwood Ave and had given him the gun. Costa told detectives that Amaral had said he just wanted another firearm, that he never mentioned any plans for using it in any crime, and that he needed her to make the purchase because he lost his driver's license and his blue card. A blue card is a safety certification required to buy a handgun and or ammunition in Rhode Island. She told the police that she had complied with Amaral's request because she wanted him to like her and was not thinking logically. Investigators determined that Costa had purchased slash ordered the gun in December of 22 and picked it up at D&L Shooting Supplies on West Shore Road, January 12, 2023. Along the way, she reportedly had also completed a firearms transaction record, a form for the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, on January 4, 2023. A question on the form asked her if she was the actual transferee slash buyer. That explicit language on the form warned Costa that it was a crime, punishable as a felony, to answer yes to the question if she was not the transferee or buyer, police said, adding that an X mark on the form showed her answer to the question had been yes, and that without a yes, the dealer could not provide her with a gun. By the end of 2023, both Costa and then Amaral had left the Warwick company. Costa, the police reports say, told investigators that the last time she messaged Amaral was in February of 2024. She told investigators that she was intimate with Amaral until February 2024, the report also says. Earlier in 2024, Costa had told a Massachusetts State Police detective that she bought the gun and kept it under her bed. Costa has been charged with providing false information to secure a firearm or license and illegal sale of a concealable weapon. Her case is pending in Superior Court in Warwick. Her lawyer, Kara Hoopas-Manish, declined to comment on the case. Less than 20 days later, both Amaral and Lauren were found dead in the young woman's apartment. Marino received notification on a Sunday night. The autopsy report for Lauren Marino details the trauma that Amaral had inflicted with the gun. The cause of Lauren's death was multiple gunshot wounds. She had 4 gunshot wounds to her head. Amaral had shot her a total of 10 times. In a story by Antonia Nori Fazan, Providence mural honored Zaruska finds new home. A mural honoring murdered Ukrainian refugee Irina Zaruska sparked backlash in downtown Providence, but a new version is now on display on Federal Hill. Opa Restaurant, a Lebanese restaurant on Atwells Avenue, reached out to artist Ian Gaudreau after learning about the controversy. Co-owner Francois Common told the Providence Journal that he's known Gaudreau for about a decade and previously purchased his artwork. He said he saw the mural as an opportunity to support a fellow immigrant. Zaruska was a Ukrainian refugee who was brutally murdered on public transit in Charlotte, North Carolina last year while on her way home from work. Karam, whose family immigrated from Lebanon in late 2001, said her story spoke to him. "We tried to find some opportunity in America, and so did she," he said. Murals honoring Zaruska's life have been controversial because they're funded by right-wing figures and are sometimes viewed as political propaganda. Conservative commentators have characterized Zaruska's death as an example of rampant urban crime in the United States and also used racist language to describe her killer at times. Karam said that the new mural is not being funded by Elon Musk or other outside billionaires. Instead, he paid Gaudreau a symbolic $1 for the commission. "He wanted to do it," Karam said. "He was very excited about it." The new mural, like the unfinished original, mainly features Zaruska's face. "There's nothing offensive, nothing political," Karam said. He said he'd understand the backlash if the mural honored a political figure like Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or Charlie Kirk, but Zaruska was a private citizen, and it's not like she was left-wing or right-wing. Karam also said he supports Mayor Brett Smiley, who deemed the original mural divisive and called for it to be removed from the Dark Lady, a gay bar in downtown Providence. Karam said he might not agree with Smiley on this particular subject, but also doesn't agree with those who have reacted by attacking Smiley and calling the mayor names. As expected, the new mural has led to some backlash, but the restaurant has also seen an outpouring of support. In an Instagram post over the weekend, Karam posted a screenshot showing that Opa had received 6 new 1-star reviews, but also received 34 new 5-star reviews. One woman yelled out of her car that she couldn't wait for the building to go up for rent. Another person put a sticker that says a trans person peed here on the door, though the security footage indicated that they didn't actually urinate on the building. "Still, the feedback has been 95% positive," Karam said. "Someone in Texan even called to see if they could order food from the restaurant and have it shipped. There seems to be a lot of support," he said. In a story out of Providence, animals rescued from Providence house fire. An investigation continues into a fire Friday night on Van Water Street that sent three people to the hospital for treatment of possible smoke inhalation. Two dogs, one cat, and two birds inside the home were rescued. One bird was deceased. Animal control responded and assumed custody of the surviving animals, according to the public safety spokeswoman, Christy Dos Rios. According to Dos Rios, the Providence Police Department, Providence Fire Department responded to 61 Vanderwater Street for reported structure fire with possible occupants and animals trapped at around 6:45 p.m. on Friday, April 3rd. The firefighters encountered a working fire in the first floor bedroom off the 11th bottom of the 1.5-story wood frame occupied residence. By the time that they arrived, all of the occupants, including 4 adults and 2 children, were already out of the building. According to WPRI, a woman tried to go back inside to save several pets but had to back out. But firefighters were able to rescue the animals from the burning home. A woman and 2 children were transported to Rhode Island Hospital and Hasbro Children's Hospital as a precaution for smoke inhalation. The extent of the damage is unknown. In a story by Patrick Anderson, new East Bay bike path bridges open. The East Bay bike path is whole again as new bridges carry the trail over the Barrington and Palmer Rivers opened Monday, April 6th, after a 6.5-year wait. The wooden 19th-century railroad bridges that the bike path originally used to cross the river were closed in the fall of 2019 when inspectors found the rotted old timbers holding it up in perilous condition. A plan to rebuild the bridges ran into pandemic-era costs, overruns, and delays. By 2021, it was not clear if the bridges would ever be rebuilt or cyclists would be forced to cross the river with automobiles on Route 114. Construction of the new bridges was estimated to cost $26 million as of January, more than $1 million over budget from the estimated cost in 2022, but around 2 months earlier than expected. Back when the old bridges were first closed, the Rhode Island Department of Transportation hoped to be able to replace them for around $10 million. As they studied the project, the challenges of utility relocation, high-velocity river currents, and accommodating recreational fishing from the spans all contributed to the delays. In the news for the sports, baseball, Trout day-to-day after hit by pitch. Los Angeles Angels star outfielder Mike Trout is considered day-to-day after x-rays on his left hand were negative. Trout left Sunday's eventual 8-7 victory in extra innings against the Seattle Mariners when he was hit in the hand by a 94-mile pitch from Casey Legumina. Trout was visited by a team trainer at home plate after the 8th-inning incident and made his way to first base before leaving for a pinch runner. "I knew it didn't feel good when it happened, and when I looked down, it already swelled up," Trout said. "And when I couldn't get my batting glove off, the trainer was like, just go get it looked at." During Friday's series opener against the Mariners, Trout was hit in the left shoulder by a 96-mile pitch from Seattle's Brian Wu. "I think we know where they're trying to get me out on fastballs up and in," Trout said after Sunday's game. "It's just frustrating. If you can't control it up there, you shouldn't do it. So it is what it is." And basketball. Chicago Sky trade Reese to Atlanta. The Chicago Sky have traded power forward Angel Reese to the Atlantic Dream in exchange for 2 first-round draft picks, the WNBA team said on Monday. Reese, age 23, was chosen as a 7th overall pick in the 2024 WNBA draft and quickly became one of the league's standout names, earning acclaim alongside Indiana Fever's sharpshooter Caitlin Clark. Reese led the league in rebounding during the 2024 and 25 campaigns. The deal sees Atlanta acquire Reese in exchange for a first-round pick in both the 2027 and 2028 drafts, according to the media reports. This trade is designed to achieve roster balance and represents a great opportunity for all parties, Chicago's general manager Jeff Pagliacoca said in a statement. Angel has achieved many record-breaking milestones in her first 2 years in the WNBA and has been a competitive force for the Sky. We are thankful for her many important contributions to this league and the game, and we know she'll continue to have a big impact on the court and beyond. We wish Angel all the best in her next chapter. Chicago struggled during her two seasons, failing to qualify for the playoffs in both 24 and 25. To the city of Chicago, you've shown me real love from day one, Reese said. Thank you, Chicago. Always Chi-Town Barbie. And in Lakers, Doncic seeks treatment. In an attempt to move up his timeline for a return, Lakers star Luka Doncic will seek specialized treatment for his grade 2 left hamstring strain in Europe, Dominic's representative told ESPN. Doncic sustained the injury in Thursday's 139-96 loss to Oklahoma City. The team announced Friday after an MRI that he will miss at least the remainder of the regular season. The typical recovery timeline for a grade 2 hamstring strain is a month. With 1 week left in the regular season, that would keep the league's leading scorer and Los Angeles leader in assists and steals out for potentially the entire first round of playoffs. The Lakers will also be without Austin Reeves for at least the remainder of the regular season after he sustained a grade 2 left oblique injury. This has been Nancy reading to you today from your Providence Journal. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here with me.